as they continue to visit their supporting churches. And we just pray for journey mercies for them. And as they prepare to go back to Chile in April, we just pray that you would give them safe travels there, that everything would be ready for them when they go, that you would take them home refreshed and ready to face the challenges of getting back in full-time ministry there. And just your continued leadership for them, Father, as they decide where they're going with the future. And so we just ask, Lord, that you continue to be with them, that you would help them to lean on you, Lord, and to depend on you for all they need, to look to you for the direction in their lives, and just continue to be with them as they continue to serve you there in Chile. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's so good to be here with you today. As I've mentioned before, we did a little while in Florida. Actually, it was from July to December. Best months of the year to be in Florida, right? Well, we did that because we couldn't get volunteers for that time frame to help out, but we don't have a lack of volunteers from January through March. Some strange reason there. I think maybe what we're going through outside here today might have something to do with that. In Chile, we do not get it this cold. If it gets down to like 5 below overnight, now that is talked about for a long time because it got extremely cold overnight. So just to give you a little bit of a reference from where we're at and all this nice weather that we're having. What I'd like to do right off this morning is show you a few pictures. We have a digital presentation with some music. And I will come up after and give some details. Just so you're aware of how it's going, I'll pay attention to the captions that are coming up in different slides because that will give you an idea of what's coming next. The first part is Welcome to Chile, and it gives you a lot of different scenery. And my wife likes to take pictures of food, so you'll see a bunch of different dishes there that we enjoy in Chile. Just things to look for. Also, there's the tallest building in South America, and one of the pictures happens to be in Chile. And then also our middle daughter, Christina, who lives in Chile, is in some of the pictures, and you'll probably see her there as well. And following the headings, you'll see the different groups of pictures depicting the different areas of ministry that we've been involved in. And then after, I'll come up and fill in a few other details. Family updates and things like that. So, as you can see, the country of Chile is a very beautiful place. It's been our home for over 33 years now. We do want to express our gratitude to you folks who have been supporting and praying for us through those years. It's always encouraging to come back and find out that there are people that pray for us every day. I know we would not have been able to do what we have done over the years if it hadn't been for the prayers of God's people, those who have taken the time to pray for us. And on that note, I'd just like to mention out in the foyer, we have a few things set up on table if you want to take a look at them. But one of the things that you need to take a look at is our prayer card. You will notice there's just my wife and myself there. We have met people that have told us that they have prayer cards with our kids still in them. I said, well, you probably got a pretty wrinkly prayer card then because it's probably pretty old, so you can get a brand new prayer card with wrinkly people in it. And I need to take my glasses off because it's important to see what I've got written here, and you'll be a little fuzzy while I do this, but that's what happens when you get older. You find out your body doesn't work quite the way it used to. In the area of talent, some of the last things that you saw there, just to go over some of those. The artistry, the paintings that you saw don't have anything to do with me. I think I gave my artistic talent to my daughters because I don't have any left. I don't know that I had a whole lot to start with, but they got it from somewhere. They do a good job at that. I do more other things like building and laying tile and, you know, painting walls in a house, but not actual pictures. And you may have noticed the one in there that said, I am a writer. That is also not me. I don't do very good in that department. Grammar was never my forte at all. I made it through high school. I'm still not sure how, but I managed. I graduated. I have a diploma to prove it, but don't ask me the grammatical stuff. My wife is that person. She's a good writer. She likes to do that. She's actually writing some novels. They're fictional, but they're based on a lot of experiences and things in Chile. And at the moment, if you want to remember to pray for her, she's in the process of looking to see if she can get some of them published, coming out as e-books and things like that. So it's something that she sees as her gift. She also has a purpose for writing. It's not just writing stories, but having biblical truth, spiritual truth woven through the story. And that is one of the goals that she has as well. So if you want to pray for her, you will also notice there's a little card there. It says Diana de la Cruz. That's like her pen name, you know, like it's a pseudonym. That's what she puts on she's designing covers for her books, and she's got that on there too. So if you want to talk with her about that or you know, take something to remind you to pray for that area of her life as well, we have a few of those cards out there as well that she has, like business cards in that area. Also, update for family. You saw the pictures there. Christina is our daughter who stayed in Chile. She may not be there for much longer because she is looking to get a little more education. She did study in Chile, got her education in Chile, got her degree in translation from German to Spanish. I think for them, probably Spanish is pretty close to their mother tongue because that's what they grew up speaking. Really, they have both of them, Spanish and English. So, but that's what she's been working at recently is teaching English. So she's a German-Spanish translator, but she teaches English. That's the job she's been working at. But she's also been involved in a children's club in one of the socially challenging areas of the city, where they don't have a lot, and she's been involved in that, and that has led her to see that she could maybe use some more studies in the area of biblical counseling and that kind of areas so that she'd be more effective in reaching out to these young ladies that she works with. So as you remember to pray for her, remember that as well. Emily, our youngest daughter, is in Greenville, South Carolina. She graduated from Bob Jones University. Went to China for 2 years, taught in Christian small Christian schools over there, and now she's back and went back to Greenville. Actually has a job there where she's working, looking at maybe some changes in the near future, but she's working on all those details as well. We're happy that she is participating in her local church as well. It's always a blessing for us in that. And our oldest daughter, Tiffany, lives in West Virginia. She's the only one that's married, and she has our 5 grandchildren. The oldest one is 8, the youngest one is 2. She's busy, and we're happy enjoying our grandkids. You know, I always say, you know, I didn't know grandkids were so much fun, and if I'd have known that, I'd have probably had them first to be able to be, you know, enjoy them more. But she just turned 35. And I thought of that and thought, you know, I remember when I was 38 thinking, you know, I think I'm getting a little bit older now. Now my daughter's getting to the point where I was thinking I was a little bit older, and I don't know how she got so old where I'm so young. In my mind, I don't feel any worse off. Actually, I feel a lot better off than I've been. But obviously, physically, you tend to have your slowing down moments. And I think that's where I'm at. But that's just a little update on our family, where they're at, what they're doing. Tiffany and her husband participate in a small church close to where they live, and we're happy for that and the fact that they have the 5 wonderful grandchildren. Best grandkids in the world, by the way. I may be a little bit prejudiced, but I don't think too much. also, some of the other areas that we that you saw in the slides and the pictures, evangelism is one of the things that's a burden on my heart due to the fact that Chileans tend to be more event-oriented. They tend to see evangelistic outreach events but they don't see that as a lifestyle. It's not something you do every day. It's something you plan for once a month or whatever, and then you go out and you do it. And they do a good job. I mean, you can't complain about their out in the park, doing evangelism and the way they plan it and the way they execute and that. You can't fault that at all. But when it's over, it's all over. No more evangelism until the next event. And that's one of the things that I tell them, you know, when Jesus said, as you are going throughout the world, paraphrase of Matthew 28. As you are living your life and going around throughout the world, wherever you might be, make disciples. We need to be sharing Jesus Christ with everybody we know, where we work, where, you know, we visit, our friends, our relatives. Everybody needs to know how wonderful and great Jesus is. I mean, when you think of how great God is, someone who is so holy, so just, and yet he would sacrifice his son to save us. We are totally unworthy of that. And to me, that's the greatest message on earth, and we need to be getting it out. And it's one of the things that I share with our young people a lot. I mention to them that, you know, evangelism has events, but it is a lifestyle. It's something you do all the time. And it's something that I think maybe some of them are catching on to. They know I have some of my pet peeves there, but that might be one of my personal things, that, you know, evangelism as a lifestyle, as a way of living, as a way of thinking, as a way of doing things. I do what I do because there's a purpose in it. I think about it and I plan it out and say, well, no, I'm going to do this way. Why? Because that's going to give me a better opportunity to share Jesus Christ with people. And we have a lot of examples throughout Scripture of people that did that. And it's something that we're working on and praying towards. Also, the other area is discipleship. As I tell the students, when I'm teaching in the Bible Institute, I say, you know, we could teach Jesus how to do discipleship. I mean, it took him 3 years and he only got 12 men. Not even. He only had 11 when he was done. You know? I mean, we can turn him out real quick. You know, 6 months and it's all over. You know, there's another disciple. On we go to the next program. And I say, you know, I think we're leaving something out. While we may be teaching a good course on doctrine, on what the Bible teaches about God, about His Word, about salvation, about the Holy Spirit, and we can go through all those wonderful doctrines and learn them, but are we learning a new way of thinking? Are we learning a new way of living? I don't see it in a lot of lives. Obviously, I'm referring to Chile because we don't minister up here much, but in Chile, that's what I see a lot of. It's a program. It's a six-month program where they go through all these doctrines and, okay, now you've learned all that. Maybe they can repeat them and maybe they can't. But how are they living? Has that made a difference in their everyday life? And I find that when we come to Jesus Christ, He changes everything. There's really nothing that's the same. And the first song that was in Spanish has that in mind. Everything has changed. I've left it all behind. Everything else. I've closed that door. I'm going on to new things. And that is basically what the Christian life is all about. And it's one of the things that I mention to our young peoples, in class. And I'll get sometimes maybe a little facetious in saying we could teach Jesus a thing or two. But it gives them the idea that, yeah, we're doing it wrong. We need to make a complete program. And when you think of how Jesus discipled, he walked on the road with them. And, guys, what were you talking about back there? You know? And, well, of course, they start hanging their head, and then he takes the moment to teach them, you know, like, maybe that's what happens out in the world, but, you know, in my kingdom, it's not going to be that way. It's not the way we do things. And so he was teaching them a new way of thinking, a new way of acting, a new way of living, not only new doctrines to believe. And that's one of the other burdens that we've had over the years, as far as our ministry in Chile. As Paul wrote to Titus, he said, you know, I've left you in Crete so you can correct what is deficient, what is lacking, what needs to be there but isn't. It needs to be fixed up. And that's one of the things that we've noticed in Chile is just that You know, the whole area of evangelism and discipleship needs a little more work. Our church participation, we've been active in a number of different churches. I've been the interim pastor in a few churches that have been looking for a pastor, have enjoyed that ministry, have been able to encourage them. While I've enjoyed that, it's only like a part-time thing because before, as was mentioned, I was a field director. A couple years ago, that all changed. I finally found someone who was willing to take over the job. And so we have a new field director in Chile. And I can use my energy in new areas. Not that I have as much energy as I had before. But I think it's good sometimes to slow down and concentrate on a few items and not be spread so thin. So, but our church participation, we've been in all the churches in the city. I've probably preached in almost all of them one time or another. But it's something that we like to be involved in to keep us current and keep us in the know of what's going on in grassroots evangelism, outreach, so we can be more effective in our teaching and ministries in other areas. Also, the Bible Institute. The burden that we've had for that is the transition in leadership. We've had a number of different leaders in the Bible Institute, and every time a new one comes in, he tries to figure out what he wants to do and where this thing needs to go. And there's a few years where it, you know, it sort of flounders for a while and doesn't really get going, and then it starts going, and then the Lord takes him to another pastorate somewhere too far away, and so then we need another guy. So, well, you know, I say sometimes it's pothole theology. You know, there's a hole, let's fill it. What do we fill it with? Well, you know, whatever's available. And I think we can do a better job that way, and that's one of the passions that I've had as far as the Bible Institute ministry is just the area of leadership transition. How you can have someone else on board that is going to move ahead with the same program and not have the big disruption that generally happens when you change leaders. The extension ministry has also been a burden of ours. We had 27 students the very first year, none of which finished any of the courses. So there's obviously a problem that needs to be identified and find out, you know, what's with the program, why didn't you finish it? And I would trust that they looked at the videos, that they answered the questions, and just didn't bother contacting anybody about doing the exams and any of the other homework assignments. So it's one of those things that is really a mystery. You might say why that happens, but it is something that did happen, and it's something that needs to be identified so that it can be corrected and then have an effective extension program. A lot of the extension program is geared towards people working in a local church that need some help in a specific area, whether they're into leadership in a local church and need something on leadership, or whether they need something maybe on homiletics or hermeneutics because they're teaching in the local church and need some help maybe preparing their messages and their studies that they're giving. That's basically what we looked at as far as the extension program, to be a benefit to people in local churches to help them do ministry in their local church in a more effective way. One of the things that we'd ask that you'd pray with us about is some of our national pastors. We don't have enough national pastors to cover all the churches that we have. And in 2015, there were three pastors that left ministry. Not because they sat down and decided, no, I think God wants me to move on, but because in two pastors, they ran into marital problems. They're not living together anymore. They're completely separated. Something flew apart. Obviously, some biblical instruction was not followed in their own personal lives. And it is a burden when you look at young men with a lot of potential sat on the sidelines because something happened in their marriage that either they were too busy in ministry to deal with or whatever else happened. I don't know the particulars. I just know the end result. And it's not nice. So just pray with us that as you know, we look at working with national pastors as we seek to encourage them, that we would have our eyes open to maybe see some of the problems that most people don't see. Because if we can notice them and then help out, I have talked to different people, not particularly these people, but different ones that I've noticed have had problems. And every time I've gone to them, I said, you know, I notice you have a problem in this area. Well, the first thing is like they're all ashamed and they don't really want to talk to you. And I say, you know, everybody has a problem. Nobody's perfect. And I think I can help you overcome that problem if you want to, you know, talk about it. And that's when they tend to perk up and say, yeah, I want to get over this. I don't know anybody that has a problem, a spiritual problem in their life, that they don't want to get over it. But the way we go about trying to correct it sometimes maybe isn't the right way. We tend to be more critical and judgmental and tell them how wrong they are. Instead of saying, you know, I've thought a little bit about that and I've seen some principles in the Bible that I think could help you and I'm willing to work with you. And, you know, nobody else knows about this. And to me, that's the beauty of it. Not everybody needs to know everybody's problem. But we do need to pray for each other. And we do need to be there to admonish one another and to help each other to grow and to be more like Jesus Christ. One of the other areas that we had in our program, in our digital presentation, was the area of using our home for hospitality. And one of the things that has continued to amaze me over the years is when people are in your home, how they tend to open up after the meal's over. They have a word in Chile, they call it sobremesa, over the table. And it's basically what happens after the meal and just what you talk about. And people will open up a lot more than they would, say, in a church setting. Or if you go to visit them in their home. When they come to your home, you've had a meal, you've had some talking, and sometimes they just start opening up and saying things. My wife told me one day, you know, this lady came to me and she opened up and she told me, I'm just surprised, like I didn't know I knew her that well. I didn't know that, you know, I was such a confident in her life that she would actually come and open up and share all these, some of them fairly intimate problems that she was going through. But she's looking for help. And hospitality can be a way of doing that. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels that way. Well, I'm not sure if we've entertained angels. Sometimes I think they were fallen angels, but we have had opportunities to share Jesus Christ with people. And one lady in particular, that she lived in a northern city, came to Santiago because she had a Down syndrome baby, and this little guy needed all the operations. Like, you know, some of them really have all the problems. Well, he did. In the middle of it, he got pneumonia, so he had to get over that. And, I mean, it was quite a long process. And we were put in contact with her by a mutual friend. Went to visit her in the hospital. We went back another day, and as we were leaving, I just mentioned to her, you know, if there's anything we can do to help you, let us know. I mean, we live here in the city, and maybe we can be of some help somehow. Well, I don't remember if it was that night or the next night, but she called us. She was having some major problems and issues where she was staying. And it was very, very hard for her in that situation. And so she just asked, she says, I would like to know if it would be possible for me to come and stay with you folks in your home. Well, we live close to the subway. It runs right very close down to where the hospital was. It was kind of convenient in that way for her. And so we said, yeah, we'll open our home. We have a guest room here, and you can come and stay in that. She was with us for 3 months. But in those 3 months, we had a couple very, very good opportunities to share what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. As far as I know, she has not made a decision for Jesus Christ yet. When she left, we mentioned to her that there were some missionaries that we knew living in her town that she lived in, and we could put her in touch with them if she wanted, and she didn't seem to pursue that at the moment. So that was fine. We didn't push. Well, a little while later, she sent a message to my wife on Facebook and said, do you have the address of that missionary couple that's living in my town? you know, we were one person in a process. We shared Jesus Christ in the opportunity that we had. I'm sure other people along the way will do that. I really trust the Lord will save her. One day we'll see her in heaven. Because not that we did anything great, but we did one thing. Someone else did something else. And you know, we all work together. As Paul put it, you know, I've sown the seed and you know, others have prayed and watered it, but God gives the increase. And God saves people. He uses us. That's another big mystery to me, why he would use the likes of me to do his work when I'm sure angels could do it a whole lot better. But he hasn't designed it that way. He wants to use us. He wants us to do that ministry and fulfill what he wants to do with men, is to save them. And he does the saving, but we do a lot of other things in sharing Jesus Christ with them. And in the moments that I have left, I would like to share just very, very briefly from Acts chapter 14. I think of every time we come on furlough, what we're doing. And there's a verse here in Acts chapter 14, verse 26, that stands out to me. And I have this verse highlighted, and I have a part of it underlined. But I just want to read, beginning in verse 21, and just share very briefly. We just have a few minutes left. But it says here, I'm reading from the New King James. It says in Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, 'We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God.' So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed." And I just look at the verbs here. They preached the gospel. They made disciples. They strengthened the souls. They exhorted them to continue in the faith. They prayed. They appointed elders. They commended them to the Lord. And then they returned back to their sending church that had commended them to the grace of God for a ministry, and the words that I have underlined here, which they had completed. Sometimes I think, you know, when is God's word going to be, God's work for me going to be completed? And I think his work for me is going to be completed when I'm in heaven. Because as long as I have life, he wants me to serve him, wherever that might be. Sometimes he changes your direction rather abruptly. Sometimes he changes it, you know, very slightly, and you move from one thing to another, and sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. But when I look back at my life, I can see there are definite times and where God has either put up a roadblock. I think of Paul, you know, when they were wanting to go to Asia and the Spirit prohibited them. How he did that, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how he did that. But he prohibited them. They knew that that was not the direction God wanted them to go. And in the end, they ended up in Philippi and some of those other cities there and did a great work, started churches there. We have letters in the Bible that Paul wrote to them to encourage them and help them. And I look at the ministry that they had, and each time they came back, the ministry that they were commended to do in the grace of God, they finished it. They completed that. And we have completed another term. What all God has in the future, I always say, you know, we might just wind up in heaven. We might go straight to heaven from here. And, you know, that would not be a disappointment to me. I think there's a lot of people that would be left here on this earth that would be in for grave trouble. But as far as I'm concerned, heaven is just a wonderful place. And, you know, if God took me there, that would not be disappointing for me. It might be for other people, but it wouldn't be for me. Because once you get to heaven, whoever wants to come back to here? You know, really when you think of it. But, you know, they completed. They did. They fulfilled the ministry that God gave them at that time. Then they went back afterwards. But they went out, they completed a ministry, they came back and they told the church, they praised God about it. They dealt with a few conflicts and a few problems, and then they went out again. Well, they had a few conflicts getting started on the second journey, but, you know, away they went anyway. They had two teams going out the second time and went to different places, and, you know, God continued to do wonderful things. And as I look at this, I say, well, yeah, we've preached the gospel, we've made disciples, we've strengthened the souls of disciples. We've exhorted them to continue in the faith. Haven't appointed elders because I haven't been in a church ministry where we have, gotten to that point. But we have prayed for the many different people, and we moved around a lot of different places. And God has used us in that, and I think we have completed what God wanted us to do up till now. But He has more for us to do. And that is what we'd ask you, that you would pray with us, that we would continue to follow the Lord, let Him lead us in all the different ways. Like I say, sometimes the Lord very forcefully closes doors. When He does that, He opens another one. And when you move from one ministry to another one, you may even move, some people have moved from one geographic location to another. When we're in God's will, doing what He's called us to do, when we're close with Him each day, when we live a life that is more separated from sin and more separated to God, we find that He leads us each step of the way, and we can look back and say, it's been good. God's been faithful. God is still wonderful. God is still good. My circumstances, well, they go up and down, but the one constant in my life is God. And He has been faithful, He has been gracious to us, and we are thankful for all He has done in and through us, and we're thankful to you for your prayers to God for us, that the Word of God would be effective in our ministry and fulfill that for which God has ordained it. And once again, we want to say thank you. Please do stop by our table and see a few things that are there, but do take our prayer card and remember to pray for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Curtis. The one constant in my life is He, the constant in your life. You know, it's you were here the whole time. You never said anything in Spanish the whole time. Rosa and Bernardo are back there just waiting for you to say something in Spanish. But I did notice Rosa sang that whole song, that song in the slideshow. So hopefully they'll get an opportunity to chat with you. The cafe is open today, and seeing as how it's minus 150 outside, you might as well stay, eh? It's been when God resurrected the gospel ministry here in this area back in 1978, 79, up through those early 80s. Curtis and Diane Stewart were the first missionary people or couple that we took on as regular support. And we've continued to support them over these past 30, coming up 34 years, as they've been in Chile. And, as Curtis has shared about that whole idea of staying and completing something, you know, we live in a generation, I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, but I've noticed it, and I noticed it in my own life. I think we're losing some of our ability to be able to stick to stuff. I don't know how much of it has to do with our attention span or how much of it has to do with our lack of commitment or how much of it has to do with whatever. But I have noticed that. I've noticed that we like to jump around. And I know God does, you know, God has seasons in our lives where He'll put us in a place for a while and then He may move us, or He'll put us to a task for a while and then there might come a point where He wants us to do something different. But I think we have to be very careful in the process of all that, that we don't lose our ability to be able to persevere. Because a lot of life is about perseverance. And sometimes, you know, we bail. And so we appreciate the long-term commitment that Curtis and Diane have made to do in Chile what we are supposed to be doing, sharing the gospel of Jesus, sharing the good news about Christ with people who need to hear. And that involves a lot of things. It involves laying tile, and it involves having people in your home, and it involves preaching and teaching and slideshows and all kinds of things. But we're thankful for you folks, and we're pleased that we're able to continue to be a part of your ministry and support. God doesn't call us all to go to another culture, but we all are called to evangelism. We're all called to share Christ, and we're all called to support others that can and are called to go, right? And you all know that. So why don't you stand with me this morning as we close service, and Curtis and Diane are able to stay for lunch, so if you can stay at all, you have opportunity to talk with them and encourage them. That would be great. But I just would like to close our time in prayer. It's been good. Will you join me? Lord in heaven, thank you for the gospel of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. We've sang about you today, Lord. We've prayed and we've called upon your name, and we've appreciated Curtis as he shared about the work. The gospel work that's being done in Chile through your people there. And Lord, you are good, and we are grateful. Father, I'm mindful of any who may be here today that are uncertain as to their stand before you, their relationship with you. I just pray, Lord, that you would just use the truth of your word today as has been shared to speak to hearts, that there might not be anyone here today that would leave with unanswered questions, but that they would seek you out and talk with someone and be encouraged. We just thank you that you do speak to hearts, and that you do want that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to faith in you. Lord, just continue to work through your church. Continue to work through Curtis and Diane, their family, other workers in Chile. We pray for the work there. And continue to work through us as we look to you humbly by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.